Say, my will, God, is to do your will. And Peter Crave proposes that when you do that, or Augustine says, when you love God,
right,
then God turns to you and says, my will is for you to do what you want.
Yeah.
Could God the Father be that good?
Wow.
Welcome back, everybody. Another episode of the Greater Works Podcast. Nick Redd here in studios with the one, the only, Bridget Pensino.
Hi, Nick.
Bridget.
How are you?
Good, good. Have you bought any more Bitcoin lately?
No, not recently, but I am thinking about it. Yeah, it was one of my good friends is he is a Bitcoin extraordinaire, and so he's sharing with me his wealth of knowledge on it. It's fascinating.
So,
fascinating stuff.
As of the past few months, I'm about as much in the game of Bitcoin as you can possibly be without actually being in the game.
Okay. You're like, yeah, you're kind
I have
of like,
not bought any.
Sure.
But I'm fairly convinced that it's like the modern day version of gold and that it has a strong possibility of being the future currency.
It's wild. It does. I'm fascinated by the idea of like what will our currency look like in I don't know how many years, but it is kind of wild.
Definitely not our expertise and definitely not why you are listening to this podcast.
It's funny though. I do feel like, I mean, kind of like everything in our culture today, I feel like Bitcoin can get oddly political. It's like, it's finance. Why did it like, but it does kind of get political.
Really?
There's also, I just learned this today. There's a whole environmental side of Bitcoin I didn't actually know about until today.
Energy and all that it's wasting. Is it immoral? And
basically all of that. So I feel like even sometimes when people bring up Bitcoin, I'm like, oh, that just again feels like let's have another polarizing topic, people. I'm just going to say.
Do it.
We got to have groups of people where we can talk about like seemingly, I mean, Bitcoin shouldn't be polarizing, but polarizing issues. And just like let it be okay.
Oh.
Let's talk about polarizing issues and still be friends.
Mm-hmm.
And like that we can listen to each other and not feel offended or not get angry at each other. This is my desire. This is the dream I have for my world.
I'm in. Let's do it. Last comment on Bitcoin. I was just in a wedding and one of the groomsmen was saying he was in a wedding like 10 years ago. And the groom gave every guy, this is like 2010, a piece of paper in like a card with each guy got a Bitcoin and it had like the key code on it.
Nice.
They were all like, what the heck is this, dude?
Yeah.
And they just, this is stupid. And they all just threw it away.
You're kidding.
None of them have it.
Oh, no.
None of them have any idea where their one Bitcoin is. So they're all like trying to look through old.
Yeah.
Anyway, none of them have it. So like the Bitcoin is in the system, but no one will ever use it.
Wow.
Gone.
It's gone.
It's the $60,000-ish or whatever it is today.
Yeah. There you go.
Which Teresa and I kind of want to, I want to get in the game and she's becoming open. Anyways, let's move on to our topic of conversation, shall we?
Please.
So what we want to talk about today with you all, happy Advent, everyone, by the way.
Yeah, happy Advent.
Happy Advent. It is almost December. Christmas is going to be here before we know it.
Yeah. And, wow. It's coming up quick.
Yeah. Do you ever do any? So like we all know that Lent is a penitential season.
Yeah.
Advent is too. Do you ever do anything special?
I do. Yeah. Depends on the year. I haven't done something super consistent throughout my Advents. But I think it's Ascension Presents that does like there's like a little book that you can buy. I want to say it's Ascension. I might be wrong. I'm going to look it up and then we can put it in the show notes. Mm-hmm. But it's a little booklet and you can like journey. Like I think last year was like journey through Advent with the Holy Family or something to that effect. So last year in the house that I was living in, all the women that I was living with each got this. They each got this book and we're going through it. And I did not get it. I felt like it just wasn't, I'm like, I don't think that's what I want to do for this Advent. And I ended up doing something else that was really cool last year, I felt like. But then I did buy the book after Advent because I was like, I want to do it next year. So now this year, we'll say it's Ascension, came out with another book, which is like Journey Through Advent. But I think this year it's like Find Your Place in the Advent Story is this year's.
Mm-hmm.
but I'm going to do last year's. So whether it's actually inspired by the Holy Spirit or if it's just me not wanting to be like everybody else and do my own thing, we will find out. But part of me thinks, I feel like this is, we're just going to say, I think it is what the Lord has for, it is obviously what the Lord has for me for this Advent, kind of falls into our conversation.
It sure
today.
Does. Is it God's will that you're
but
doing
it's
this?
It's what I decided to do for sure. Yeah, so this year I will be doing the book that most people did last year, which is Journey Through Advent with the Holy Family, I think it's what it's called.
Sweet.
Yeah, so that should be fun. Awesome. Something to add to my prayer time, supplement that. Last year I bought this, it's kind of like a reflection book, but it's beautiful. It's a book from Blessed Is She, and I think it's actually called Emmanuel, and it's... I think it's actually supposed to be a Christmas devotional, but I used it in Advent. But it's beautiful image, like art, beautiful art pictures mm-hmm. of images of Jesus, images of the Holy Family. And then each day it takes you through a name of Jesus, like Emmanuel, or like just something, pull something from scripture, like, I don't know, little boy, or yeah, just like different titles for Jesus from scripture, and then does a reflection on them. And then there's also an art picture that you can just meditate on, and it's beautiful. So I loved cool. that. That's what I ended up doing last year.
Little boy, huh?
I just kind of pulled that one
out. Don't ever call me little boy.
There is something about boy, son.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Won't.
I love it. What we're talking about today, we want to have a conversation on discernment. Get over the cold, sister.
It's only because I'm talking.
It's okay, though. I don't mind. I'm pumping my veins full of vitamin C, zinc, and magnesium every day.
That's a lot.
Nothing's going to stop
me. Do you have
like
an IV in the morning?
Nope. Powder, straight powder.
Straight
Tastes
powder.
Tastes delicious.
There you
so
go.
So here's a question I want to start with.
My one-a-day vitamins.
Bridget, I like your energy today.
Does it feel like I'm a jazz singer? It's really my dream.
It was a little smokier earlier in the week, but it sounds good.
Okay.
Listen, I'm trying to take us somewhere, and you're not letting me. And I'm going to ask a question that's going to open up our conversation.
Great.
Here's the question. Does God have one right choice for me in each decision I make? That's the question.
That's the question, people.
That's the rhetorical device we're going to present to you today is, does God have one right choice for me in each decision I make? The topic we want to talk about is God's will, and even specifically more than that is discernment. How do we discern God's will?
Dang, what a big topic.
Yeah, so we're going to definitely leave more questions unanswered than answered. We're going to have you thinking, yeah, but what about like this? Like, doesn't God have specific, you know, a specific will for you in some situations? And we would say, yes, I would argue we absolutely believe that.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to hopefully have a conversation that'll just bring you some freedom.
Yeah.
Open up just a way of walking with God that will allow you to discern in freedom, to discern in peace, to discern in joy, because it has been my experience in both in my own personal life and in the lives of many others, especially young men trying to figure out their vocation, is that it can be a paralyzing, crippling, ultimately unfruitful way of discerning your life, which is how we often do it, is like there is one way and God's got the answer and he's holding out on me, kind of like this like pagan oracle way of like looking at God's will. It's
seriously.
Like, and if I miss it, then I missed it.
Mm.
And so we were talking before we pressed record. You were sharing a story of back in the day, you were on retreat?
I was on retreat.
And you were discerning some stuff.
Exactly.
Could you walk us through that scene?
Yeah, let me walk you through that, pending that I don't cough in the middle of it, in which case you have every right to make fun of me.
No, we can take it.
Yeah, so this is actually not quite a year ago when I was discerning coming back to SPO staff full-time. And I had gone through different discernment processes before, so this one was I mean, unique in that it was different, but it was also like, okay, like I have made decisions before, I can make decisions again. And I went on this retreat and I was at a house that was by a lake, and I just went there. We had some break time in the afternoon. And I just went and took a walk down by the lake, and it was mid-December, but it was like nice enough out because we live in Kansas City and that happens and it's wonderful. Nice enough out where I could walk by the lake and it was beautiful and I wasn't cold. And I just like felt like I was just having this conversation with Jesus. And just the grace of the moment was like, I feel like he's just present with me as we're having this walk together. At some point I had like felt in my inner person, you know, it's hard to articulate prayer, but like felt like he asked me the question, Bridget, what did you want to be when you grew up? And oftentimes my conversation with Jesus can be like pretty playful, which I think is fun. So I felt like he was kind of being playful with me. And I like just kind of immediately was drawn back to this. I was probably between 7th and 9th grade. I don't remember exactly when, but I was in a careers class in school. So we were learning about different careers. And I think it was supposed to help us as like maybe high schoolers or junior high students at the time prepare for a future career.
Cool.
So we got to make, one of the assignments was to make a little brochure of what do you want to be when you grow up? And just kind of put a little brochure together on it. And I remember everybody else in my class, I think, had like one, maybe two things on their brochure of like, here are options of my future career. Whereas for me, I had so many things I wanted to be. I think just to list a few, I want to say there were like 7, but there was like marine biologist, rocket scientist, nurse, doctor, lawyer. There was like a whole bunch. I'm like, I want to be all these things. And so, you know, fast forward now to me walking near the lake with Jesus and just this question, like, what did you want to be when you grew up? And I was like, I wanted to be all these things. I couldn't decide. And I just kind of felt like in that moment, because at this point I was deciding really between, because I had a job in aerospace engineering and then I had the option to come back to staff with SPO full time. And so I had these two options in front of me. And similarly, like I felt like kind of both doors were open. Both doors were very open. Like I could, and I just knew like I can choose to continue to pursue aerospace engineering as my career and the Lord's going to bless it. And I like it and it's fun and it's going well.
A lot of gifts he's given you in that.
Thank you. Yeah. Right? A lot of gifts. I think I could be really successful in that.
Think that like, well, I shouldn't bury these talents, right?
Right.
Should I steward these, right?
Mm-hmm. That is a good question. And then on the other side, like SPO, my love for full-time ministry and to really be like on the front lines of the Lord's work in this particular way. And also a lot of gifts he's given me in that, I think, different gifts, albeit, but still gifts. And so really felt like there were these two options in front of me. And just in the same way that I felt like Jesus had said, like, what did you want to be when you grew up? And I'm like, I had all these options that I wanted to be. And similarly, like, I have these options. And I felt like he was also highlighting for me like a part of my heart in that, like, I just have a desire to do a lot of things. And so anyway, this is all wrapped up into kind of like one moment of conversation with him, with Jesus. And then this is the most beautiful part. Just through the grace of the Holy Spirit, I felt like he said, pick one.
Right.
Pick one. And just his total delight in that. Like, you actually get to choose. Like, you are free. What do you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
And that was just such a cool moment for me because I knew like I can actually choose either of these.
Right.
Both are good and both will like allow me to live like a beautiful life of following Jesus in different ways.
Right.
But yeah, I felt like he really gave me freedom there.
Yeah. Couple like quotes are coming to my head. One scripture, another an Augustine quote. I think Psalm 37, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart.
Yeah.
Such a provocative scripture quote. It's like, yeah, but like all my desires are disordered kind of thing. Another quote from Augustine. Love God and do what you will. Do as you please. Do what you want. And then Augustine, similarly in that vein, he says the entire life of a good Christian is an exercise in holy desire, not just duty and obligation, but desire and following that
so
place
good.
In your heart. Like the will of God is even written in your heart. And maybe it's not a what, but it's a way of doing life with God. And really, I think that's kind of what we want to propose to you all today, is this it's not this static, just binary, just closed case way of living life of like there's a right or a wrong, but mm-hmm. it's so much more dynamic and creative,
yeah,
and really kingdom and relational than mm-hmm. than that. And discernment is more of a way of life than like a what, and I got to get my answer. Otherwise, right. I'm going to miss the boat. And will I get to heaven? Ultimately, this isn't even a salvation issue,
yeah.
But it's life abundant on earth and living in the fullness of God's mm-hmm. plan, which maybe isn't this is the plan, this is not the plan, but it's more of like, hey, you're on the playground.
Yeah.
Have fun.
Hmm.
Have fun.
Really
so
good.
I remember I was up in Minnesota and I was talking to this college student. Shout out to the college student I'm thinking of. And
you know who you are.
You know who you are. And probably doesn't listen to this. And there was like this like a sign for like basically a call to become a seminarian or something. And it was like this picture of this young guy. And it was a quote. The question was like, why did I want to enter seminary? And the underneath it, it was like, it wasn't about what I wanted. It's what God wanted. And we were both looked at it, we're like, I don't know. Like yeah. there's something to that.
Sure.
That's like good and right. But totally dismissing our role in the story. In this article we were reading, and maybe we can throw a link in the show notes.
Oh my gosh, it's fantastic. Yeah. Part of me just was thinking like, can we just read this whole article out loud and that's the podcast?
Yeah, but I thought that
it's
too.
Really
but
good.
Peter Kraft has this article, and he talks about any heresy in the church is usually falls into like one areas of extremes. So highlighting Jesus's humanity at the cost of his divinity, or highlighting his divinity at the cost of his humanity. In this case, highlighting God's sovereignty at the risk of like our responsibility. And so it's always both, and it's not just us. And like whatever thing I choose becomes God's will because I clearly did it and God willed it. And this is a little different conversation than what we had a few weeks back. This is kind of like God's will part two.
Yeah.
But more of like freedom and how do you choose? And is there a one right answer to all of the decisions I make, big and small?
Yeah, just to read, like, this is the last paragraph of that article, but I love it. Peter Kraft writes, God, in giving us all free will, said to us, your will be done. Some of us turn back to him and say, my will is that your will be done.
That's right, God.
Yeah, I want what you want. And that is obedience to the first and greatest commandment. But then when we do that, God turns to us and says, and now your will be done.
Okay. So freaking
yeah, you're jacked up right now.
So it's like,
It's provocative.
This is the first commandment.
It makes us uncomfortable,
right? This is like the key that unlocks this doorway to this abundant way of living the will of God.
Yeah.
The key is us taking our will, turning to him, the first and greatest commandment, and is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, and to offer God your will. Say, my will, God, is to do your will. And Peter Kraft proposes that when you do that, or Augustine says, when you love God,
right,
then God turns to you and says, well, my will is for you to do what you want. What the crap?
Yeah.
Could God the Father be that good?
Wow.
Right. And so it's good. Like the image is, you know, Chesterton's image, you know, of a playground. And so say the gate we just entered into, as we just talked about, that key got us into this playground now. So God turns to us and says, my will is for you to do what you want. And so it's not for me to step onto the playground and I'm there with my dad, with my father, and be like, yeah, okay, Father, do you want me to go on the monkey bars?
Yeah.
Or do you want me to go down the slide?
And then which slide? This slide is a little bit
right.
taller. This slide is a little bit like spirally.
Those little loop-de-loop.
Which one should I do?
Yeah. I mean, I'd probably do the spiral one.
Let's be real here.
And so God says, great, do it. Ultimately, I want you to do it with me.
Yeah.
And so this freedom to just do, it's the story of with, it's doing life.
Oh, that's good.
With the Father. And here is the thing I also, I think I do want to speak into, like, okay, but the bigger decisions, like vocation, right? Two doors, two very different paths to go down. One door I walk through is celibate, not going to get married. And as Catholics, like, this is probably what paralyzes us the most. It's like we get so in our head about this. Or the other is marriage, right? I propose to you all that as we like play on this playground and we do life with God and we're living the commandments, right? Mm-hmm. It's hopefully all the stuff on this particular playground are moral, right?
Yes, I think we're assuming that.
The fence keeps out all the bad stuff. That you're, and then when we walk down this path, here's the image, you're walking down a path and eventually it's going to divide and you have to make that bigger choice. That every day that we're communing with God, we are with our Father, we're walking in the Spirit, we're feeding on His Word, on Scripture, on His sacrament.
Right.
And His nature, His character, His desires are continually being fostered within us, and I am being transformed. I'm having more of His thoughts and more of His mind for life, that when the moment comes to make those bigger decisions, I still propose to you, because this is, God has respects us so much that He gives us free will, that He still turns to us and says, you decide. And what if we can trust that God is cultivating His heart within us and His character, that when the time comes to make those decisions, I actually can, and Augustine would propose to you that you have to trust your desire at that point to make those decisions. Like the compass is in my heart. It's desire. Not just obligation and duty and right and wrong and what's in the filing cabinet that God has for me in heaven before I was born, you know?
Yeah, the quote from Augustine, the love God and do what you will, like, kind of presupposes that, like, you love God and, like, and that you're living your life with, like, loving God, albeit imperfectly for all of us. But, like, my desire is to love God, and then, like, just the freedom that flows from that. And I think, and then there's the whole process of it, too. Like, we're, as we walk with God, there's part of our story where He's maturing our desires. And I think that's, that's a big place where... I think some of this can fall into, like, we start to question this, at least I can start to question this, when seemingly the desires that I have, that I am walking toward in freedom with God, don't seem to pan out. So then I ask the question, well, is this really God's desire? Is this desire good? And I would say, yes, it is. And the Lord is trimming it and pruning it and purifying and maturing the desire so that it becomes more of Him, like, His, like, the full desire that He's, like, actually placed in me. So I think that is part of the process too, of the maturing the desires. But it's like, it's a playground with Him. I remember when I bought my first car by myself, which was a big deal for me, and really cool, actually, because it felt like my previous vehicle was kind of had been having issues for a while, and at some point I just was like, all right, I'm done. I'm done with this. I'm gonna get a new car for myself, and felt like this, like, the whole week, it happened pretty quickly, but the whole week that I was like, I'm getting a car. I was doing it with God. It was like such a cool experience, and like the whole week, I was like, just felt like He was with me in the research and the decision making and the studying of it, and actually going to the dealership and like looking at different cars. And. And so then I end up getting this car, feel peaceful about the whole process. And then, like, within the next few days after getting it, kind of had this, like, a fearful thought of, like, oh, my gosh, what if I made the wrong decision? What if I, like, you know, fill in the gaps with all the what ifs that could come up. And I just felt, like, God's reassurance to me of, like, Bridget, I was with you. I was with you when we made the decision. I was with you. We made it together. You decided, but I was with you in that process. And I'm going to be with you in whatever happens next. I'm going to be with you in, like, all the consequences, good and bad, of this decision. The consequences are you have a car payment now. The other consequences are you don't have to worry about fixing your car every couple of months. So there's, like, different consequences.
It's a nice consequence.
Yeah, it is a nice consequence. And but there's like, yeah, he's with me in all of it. And so I think there's that part too. Like, we make decisions in freedom. We make decisions in freedom. And there are going to be consequences, both good and bad things that happen because of different decisions. And the Lord is with us in those things too.
Yeah. He's going to be with you on the other side of the door, whatever door you decide to walk through.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's with you. Back to this article. I just want to read a little bit. Peter Kreef says, each of us has a different set of instincts and desires. Sin infects them both, of course, but sin infects our reason and our bodies too. Yet we are supposed to follow our bodily instincts, for example, hunger and self-preservation, and our mind's instincts, for example, curiosity and logic. I think he wants us to follow our hearts. Surely, if John loves Mary more than Susan, he has more reason to think God is leading him to marry Mary than Susan.
To marry Mary.
Right? To marry Mary. Why not treat all other choices by the same principle? He says, I'm not suggesting, of course, that our hearts are infallible or that following them justifies sinful behavior, nor am I suggesting that the heart is the only thing to follow. I mentioned 7 guidelines earlier, which we're going to put the link in this in the show
read
notes.
Read it, people. Like, I know you're going to say, no, I don't have time to read the article. No. You do have time to read this article. Please make time to read this article.
For the salvation of you and your life here on earth.
And not for your salvation, but just for your betterment.
Sanctification.
For mine as well.
Freedom. Come on. He says, but surely it is God who designed our hearts, the spiritual heart with desire and will as much as the physical heart with aorta and valves. Our parents are sinful and fallible guides too, but God gave them to us to follow. So our hearts can be worth following too, even though they are sinful and fallible. If your heart loves God, it is worth following. If it doesn't, then you're not interested in the problem of discernment and of his will anyway.
Right.
Right? So like, if any of us are concerned, like, what is his will? Then your heart probably loves God, and it's probably worth following. And I don't know if you listening to this need to hear this, but I guarantee you some people listening to this podcast episode today need to hear that your heart is actually worth following. That at the end of the day, like, we have to love God and do what you please. Do what you desire, do what you will. And there's freedom that he has for us. And do you got something else?
Yeah, well, again, from the article, but I loved this line. So this is like point number 3 in the article, but have a soft heart, but a hard head. Because I was thinking as you're sharing that, like, yeah, absolutely. There's so many of us that need to hear, like, your heart is worth following. Mm-hmm. There's desires in your heart that are that the Lord has planted himself, and they're good. And he's like, and he's put something within you that, like, you've been like aching for somebody to like speak to it and let it come to life.
Right.
There's so many of us that need to hear that. And then there's others of us that kind of fall on the opposite end of the spectrum that are like, we actually might need to hear a little bit more about reason and following reason. And so I loved his line of like, have a soft heart, but a hard head. He said, we should be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, sharp as a fox in thought, but loyal as a dog in will and deed. In our hearts, we should be bleeding heart liberals.
So good.
And in our heads, we should be stuck in the mud conservatives. And I just really appreciate we need both in us, like
100%.
The part where my heart is soft.
100%.
But my head still needs to be like,
right.
Like not clouded, but like actually in reason and good thought.
Yeah.
And there's a place to follow my heart. So I think part of it is like know what you need and know what your tendencies are too in this. Like, but I would say probably for the majority of us, particularly in the Catholic Church, kind of need to hear to follow our hearts a little bit more.
Last thing that I'll say on this, and it's totally going to open up a can, but
I feel like a lot of this conversation probably has.
But this would be a whole nother conversation, I think. I remember the first summer I spent down in Florida with Dr. Bob in the JP2 Healing Center. Mm. We were talking about discernment and in particular, like big discernment. And he said, Nick, what I've learned in walking with people is that when there is like foundational healing, like there are some like non-negotiable wounds that are healed. Discernment becomes so easy.
Gosh, that's good.
Like, because there are people that are in seminary. There are people that are married. I'll start with one. There are people that are in seminary that are terrified of marriage. There are people that are like pursuing or think they're called to marriage, they're terrified of being single for the rest of their life. So they would never consider seminary. And there's a lot of fear, right? Mm. That's some wounding there. There's other wounding that happens. And when we have some fairly significant inner healing, discernment becomes so much easier.
That's good.
So that's just another conversation. We got to get Dr. Bob on this. Dr. Bob, I'm coming at you.
There you go.
We're going to have you on the show.
We're going to just plug his podcast right now. What's it called?
Restore the Glory.
Restore the Glory. Yes. Such a good podcast.
With something Kim.
Jake Kim. Yeah. They're incredible. Yeah. So if you want to learn more about inner healing, go to Restore the Glory podcast.
Yeah. They're awesome. Cool. Well, hey, discernment, people. Freedom. That's the offer on the table. Amen. Do whatever you want. Just kidding. But kind of. If you're listening to this podcast, you probably can take that advice. But also, let's be bleeding heart liberals and stuck in the mud conservatives.
So good.
God bless you guys. We'll see you next time.
Peace.
Peace.